Today we're speaking on a topic called the principle of multiplication. The principle of multiplication. Say that with me. The principle. One more time. The principle of multiplication. One more time. The principle of multiplication. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for the word today. We just worship you. Father, we pray that this word today is going to fall on good ground. We worship you. We bless you. Thank you, for you want to increase us and you want to multiply us. We worship you in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen and amen. Amen. One more time. Amen and amen. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful. Great stuff. Well, next Sunday is serve day. Somebody say serve day. Serve day. Not next Sunday, next Saturday, right? You guys paying attention? Next Saturday is serve day. And so we're going to come here at 9 a.m. Somebody shout 9 a.m. And we're going to practice being generous together. At 9 a.m., we're going to come here. Please register at the Welcome Center so we can send you an email with information. But at the end of this service today, you're going to be given this piece of paper, and it's got ideas of things that we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. We want to know our community and love our community and serve our community. Amen? So we're going to put together some gift bags. We're going to put in there some goodies, stuff for the kids, all kinds of stuff. It's summertime, some water guns and different things. You know, water guns. Can we give kids water guns? We can. We're not spreading the spirit of violence, right? No? Yes? Whatever you feel like your kids love to play with, take that and put it in a few gift bags. And we're going to meet in that parking lot, and we're going to go into this community here. And we're just going to give this stuff out to the families. And we're going to love them. We're going to pray for them. And we're just going to tell them that Jesus loves you. Come on, yes, let's put our hands together. Amen. So you put that gift back together by yourself, and it's going to be awesome. Somebody say it's going to be awesome. Wonderful. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. This is going to be awesome this morning. Somebody's going to be multiplied here in the name of Jesus. How many people can use a little more in Jesus' name? Amen. I believe that God's raising a fearless generation that can be trusted with wealth for the sake of the gospel. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30 to 44. Well, I'm going to tell you this story today, and I want to give you a homework today. I want you to go home and read that whole chapter today. We've been doing something new. If you notice in your package that you receive, we've been including message notes. Amen. Anybody has some message notes in your little packet? I've been taking time, y'all, to prepare these message notes because I want to put the word of God inside of you so that there's real transformation. Amen. Amen. So there's message notes here. You see all the points that we have. And then online this week, if you go online, there's going to be message notes, but there's going to be more information and more material. Amen. It's going to be more stuff. So I want to tell you the story here. This is a story of Jesus multiplying two fish and five loaves of bread. Anybody knows that story? Well, I'm going to tell it again because I love Bible stories. Amen. So Jesus is hanging out somewhere and his disciples come. His disciples come. I love telling my kids Bible stories because, man, it's just fun. I'm running out of stories, y'all. I need new stories because I've told them just about every story in the Bible. We know that one already, Daddy. But Jesus is somewhere, and his disciples come to him, and they're excited. They're like, Jesus, we've been praying for the sick. We've been teaching the word of God. We've been doing so much. It's been incredible. And they literally say this. They say, we've been preaching, we've been teaching so much that we haven't even eaten today. We've been preaching the word of God. We've been teaching people. We've been praying for people. It's been so much fun. We haven't even eaten today. So Jesus, being a good leader, he tells his disciples, he says, hey, guys, here's what we're going to do. How about we go somewhere? Let's get on a private boat. Literally, the Bible says that. Let's get on a private boat and go across to the other side because you guys have been working so hard. You're just going to chill. We're going to get some food. We're just going to have a little retreat. Somebody say retreat. That's a good leader. That's a good leader. He says, we're just going to take time for the rest of the day today. No more work. You guys have been working so hard. We're just going to go over there. And I'm sure maybe Jesus was thinking, maybe we can get these guys to get some massages and stuff and just relax and just chill out, right? And then here's what happens. Somebody finds out where these guys are going. Somebody finds out. I don't know. Maybe they were going to New Hampshire somewhere in the mountains to relax, right? So they get on the boat. They're on the Merrimack River going to New Hampshire somewhere. So they find out where they're going. The crowds find out where Jesus and his disciples are going to relax. I don't know. Maybe Judas, you know, maybe Judas told on somebody and told them where they were going. But here's what happens. As Jesus and the disciples are on the boat going off to relax, these crowds begin to walk, and they know where they're going, so they begin to walk to that place. They begin to follow them. By the time Jesus and his disciples get to the other side, the Bible says there were 5,000 families waiting on them. Somebody say, wow. Somebody say, wow. That's a man on demand. Listen, I pray and declare and prophesy over you that God's going to give you such gifts that you're going to be on demand. People will follow you looking for the gift that you have on your inside in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Come on, don't let people talk you down on big dreams. Jesus was a great man. Can you imagine he's going to have a little vacation and 5,000 families are following him because they want what he needs? I declare right now in the name of Jesus that God will bless you with such talent. God will bless you with such anointing. It's going to make you be on demand. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Let's forget doing little small things. If you want to do small things, it's okay. God is in that too. But I'm just believing that God wants to do some great things in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. They're going to chill out. They're on a private boat. By the time they get there, there's 5,000 families waiting on them. So disciples are like, Jesus, remember, we've been teaching today. We haven't eaten. You told us we're coming here to relax. So we're going to chill, right? We're going to relax. You're going to tell these people that you're on vacation, right? You're going to tell them that. There's something about doing work when you're on vacation, right? When we go on vacation, my wife does not like it when I pick up this computer. I mean, anytime I touch this computer, she's like, honey, are you working? She's got the kids doing that too now. Anytime I pick up my computer on vacation, my two-year-old is like, Daddy, are you working? Put that thing down. I'm like, come on, chill out, yo. I read my Bible from that thing, and I'm just checking in on life. Stop working. So the disciples, I can imagine the disciples are thinking, Jesus, we came here to relax. You better not stop preaching to those people. But the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion. Ah, hallelujah. I pray that God will begin to break your heart with the things that breaks his heart. Jesus was moved with compassion. So he says, guys, I know we came here to chill. You know, I know we're supposed to relax. I think Jesus said, hey, you know, I know we're supposed to have massages and just eat some food and relax. I know I told you we're coming over here to just relax, but I got to preach to these people. And the Bible says Jesus begins to preach and teach to these people. Teach the word of God. He begins to teach. And the Bible says time was far spent. Somebody say far spent. Jesus was a long-winded preacher. He was preaching. He was teaching. I can imagine the disciples being agitated. Listen, he brought us here to relax. He brought us here to hang out. Now he's working over there, and he's working some more. And you would think that he would just preach a small little message, but no, man, he's going in. 1 o'clock, he's still preaching. 2 o'clock, he's still preaching. 3 o'clock, he's still preaching. 4 o'clock, he's still preaching. 5 o'clock, he's still preaching. 6 o'clock, he's still preaching. And the Bible says the sun was going down. So the disciples begin to think to themselves, we need to do something here. We need to have a little committee here. We honor him. We love him. But we need to do something here. We need to go talk to Jesus. So they sent somebody. They sent somebody. Just imagine. I love Jalen. Just imagine Jalen was one of the disciples, right? Now, let's imagine Jalen and the worship team. Let's imagine I take the worship team on a retreat and say, we're going to hang out. And then we get there, man. I'm just preaching. I'm working. We haven't eaten. I would imagine the worship team. I would imagine Juan and Tim and Tyler and even the girls and Jennifer and everybody and Crystal. By the way, let's just appreciate this amazing worship team. Can we appreciate them? Now, I can imagine the worship team having a little conference, like, we need to go to talk to Pastor Zenzo, man. We're supposed to come here and eat. And I just kind of think that they would recruit Jalen to come talk to me. That's what I think. I think one would say, who's going to go? No, Jalen, you're going. I think everybody would say, and Jalen would be like, I guess I'm going to, okay. And I can, now I can imagine Jalen coming over there and saying, Pastor, because he's so honoring, you know, Pastor. Pastor, you know, you've been preaching, and it's powerful. We love it. We love your preaching, Pastor. It's incredible. You know, I can listen to you all night, Pastor. It's incredible. It's wonderful. But we were talking in the back, and we were thinking. Juan was thinking. No, we were thinking. No, we were thinking, you've been preaching for a long time. And guess what? They don't want to say that they're the ones complaining because they haven't eaten. So they devise a little strategy, and they say, you know, we could sit here for a long time. I know we haven't eaten. I know we're supposed to come here. I haven't had a massage yet. We haven't relaxed yet. You've been working. We can listen to you all night. But the people are hungry. I mean, we're hungry too, but we can do it. You know, we love ministry, you know. But we can do it too. But we were thinking, Juan was thinking, no, we were thinking that maybe you need to wrap it up, you know. Let's wrap it up, Pastor. People need to go home. The restaurants are closing, and you need to wrap it up. And imagine I tell Jalen, I'm not going to wrap it up. Go tell the people in the back. Go tell Tim. Go tell Tyler. Go tell everybody. Go tell Lyndon. Go tell everybody. Go tell Paul. Tell them, you guys feed them. And Jalen is like, so he goes to the back, you know, and Juan is like, what did he say? Are we going to eat now? We're getting massages now. And Jalen would be like, not quite, Pastor. Not quite. He says, we need to feed them. And at this point, Tyler has got this little bag, and there's two fish and five loaves of bread. Tyler took food from one of the iKids kids in there, and he's got... They're ready to eat this thing together. All of them, they're ready to eat this thing. Because they're supposed to come here and eat and relax, and they haven't eaten yet. And so Jalen says, he wants us to feed them. And he's asking what we have. And then Jalen comes back and says, Pastor, all we have is two fish and five loaves of bread. We need to send the people, Pastor. We need to wrap it up, Pastor. We need to send the people home. The Bible says, Jesus says, bring me the two fish and the five loaves of bread. Somebody shout, bring me. He says, bring it to me. I can imagine Jalen say, Pastor, you want us to bring you the two fish and the five loaves? Like you want us to bring it? Like bring it to you? Like the two fish and the five, like you want us to literally bring it to you? Like bring it. Like right now, Pastor, like you want us to do this now? Yeah, Jalen, bring the two fish and the five loaves. He goes to the back, tells the fellas, and Juan is like, no, man, I'm getting back on the boat. I'm going back to... And they bring it to Jesus. Somebody shout, bring it to Jesus. They bring it to Jesus. And the Bible says, Jesus tells them, before I multiply this, I want you to go back to these 5,000 families and organize them into groups of 50s and 100s. And then Jesus lifts it up, he blesses it, and he gives it to them to multiply. And the Bible says 5,000 people, 5,000 men, 5,000 women, 5,000 families were fed. Somebody put your hands together and celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. This is the contemporary version of that scripture, of that story. Now, I'm going to give you 4 points. Somebody shout 4 points. I love to give you numbers, and I love to give you points so that you can take some points home. I want to give you principles of multiplication. How many people are ready to be increased here in this place? How many people are ready for real business? I'm talking about real business. How many people are ready to build hospitals in this place? How many people are ready to do some great things in this place? If you're serious and ready, shout hallelujah. Principles of multiplication. Somebody shout multiplication. The first thing I want to say to you is that if what you have is not enough to meet your need, sow it as a seed. If what you have is not enough to meet your need, sow it as a seed. I'm going to say that again to you. If what you have in your hands is not enough to meet your need, sow it as a seed. I'm going to download into you principles of multiplication in this place, biblical principles of multiplication. They had two fish and five loaves of bread. How many people were there? They counted 5,000 men because in that generation, they counted the heads of households. And an average family back then had 5 to 10 people, which means the crowd was about 25,000 to 50,000 people. Most theologians believe that this was the largest crowd that Jesus preached to. They had two fish and five loaves of bread. Can two fish and five loaves of bread feed 25 to 50,000 people? Can it? No, it can't. What they had was not enough. So they needed to put it in the hands of the one who blesses. They needed to put it in the hands of the one who multiplies so that it can actually meet the need. If what you have is not enough to meet the need, put it in the hands of the one who blesses. I'm going to tell you something. The saddest thing you can ever do is to be so cheap you can't afford to give God. Because you will never afford to give God. Because what you have will remain the way it is until you place it in the hands of the master. Listen, I know what I'm talking about. My wife and I started giving when we had nothing. My wife and I started giving when we used to look in our couches looking for change so we can buy rice and beans for the week. My wife and I started giving when my wife could not even afford a nursing brush. She used to go in the bathroom to nurse our kids because we couldn't even afford that. That's when we began to give, because we realized that when we take our not enough and put it in the hands of the blesser, that it will become more than enough in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. If what you have is not enough, place it in the hands of the one who blesses so it can be multiplied. As a pastor, I get sad when people say, I can't give anything. I can't give anything to the Lord. You can give something. Everybody has something to give. And I'm not talking about just money. You can give something. You can come next Saturday. You can find some toys in your house. You can find something and say, God, we don't have enough, but we're going to bring this to you. Bless it, multiply it, increase it. The disciples said, all we have is two fish and five loaves. So we're going to place it in the hands of the one who blesses so he can multiply it. Then we'll be able to meet our need. Years ago, when my wife and I were really, really struggling, we were $30,000 in debt. $30,000 in debt. Back then, my wife was so sad. She was so upset. She used to sleep all the day in the afternoon. She was just miserable. I was looking at her like, man, this girl is not going to make it on me, man. I married this girl. For me, on the other hand, I was kind of happy because, guys, listen, I came from a humble place. All I wanted was to be in this country. I was like, man, I'm in America, man. There's nothing to be worried about. I don't have much, but I'm excited. I remember being desperate when I saw my wife here. I wanted this girl so bad, Jeremy. I wanted this girl so bad. I prayed. I said, God, if you give me this woman, I'll change the world for you. Come on, single people, you got to pray some dangerous prayers. I wrote on a piece of paper, I said, God, if you give me Michelle Ann Foley, I'm going to change the world for you. I desperately wanted this girl, man. I desperately wanted this girl. She was anointed. Her skin was milky. Everything about her, I just, God, please give me this woman, please. So here I was in the house. We don't have much, but I have a roof, right? And I'm married to the girl of my dreams. And I have a son. So I was excited. I was just happy. I'm a happy guy. On the other hand, she was miserable because we were $30,000 in debt. And one day, I'm just around the house cleaning our little place and just whistling. And she says, stop it! She says, you should be more miserable than me. You're the breadwinner. You're the father of this house. and we're $30,000 in debt, and you're over there whistling. You should be more miserable than me. I was like, honey, what do you think? We should play a game called Who's More Miserable Now? Like, I'm more miserable. Are you more miserable? No, I'm more miserable with $30,000 in debt. No, I'm more miserable than you. I said, honey, being miserable will not pay the debt. And I said, honey, I refuse to grow up and give my son a memory of the father who was always grumpy because we didn't have enough. I said, I refuse to do that. But in that week, during that week, somebody gave us $1,000, yo, $1,000. Back then, $1,000 felt like $10,000. I was shouting, I was celebrating, $1,000. And there was my wife, as meticulous as she is, she took the $1,000 check and put it on our table. She put her nerdy glasses that she wears when she's really busy at work, and she put all our bills on the table, and there she was trying to crunch the numbers, trying to reconcile a $30,000 debt with $1,000. It looked miserable. She looked sad. She was there trying to crunch the numbers. I mean, it was bittersweet. We're happy we have $1,000, but it's not enough. And right there, God taught me a principle of multiplication. God said, Zenzo, I want you to give that $1,000. And I said, God, oh no, man, whoa. Bind your devil in the name of Jesus. Diablo, out. So that's not God. Give my, God, this is all we got. God said, Zenzo, I want you to give that. I said, God, that's not responsible. I have debt. I need to be a responsible, godly man and take care of my debt. And God says, yes, you need to be responsible. But God says, paying and trying to deal with a $30,000 debt with $1,000 is not responsibility. God said to me, how much debt do you have? I said, $30,000. He said, can $1,000 fix $30,000 debt? I said, no, God. And I heard the voice of God saying, Zenzo, bring your not enough. Put it in my hands. I'll multiply it for you, and you'll be able to meet your need. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. I heard the voice of God, and I was excited, but I was scared of my wife. How am I going to tell this girl? She's sitting on the table crunching them numbers, man. That she's crunching the numbers. Her father taught her principles of budgeting and that whole stuff. She's good at that stuff. Can you help me celebrate my wife, somebody? Amen. My wife, that little girl will fix cars. She knows how to change tires. She's wild. So she's there, and I go to my wife. I say, honey, how you doing? I said, God spoke to me. She said, why? I said, God wants us to give that $1,000. And I walked away. You know, you got to walk away like an African dude. Give that $1,000. And just. She was like, what? She literally followed me, and I'm walking away. She's following me. She's following. I'm like, yo, you know, you got to run like you're running away from a party in the hood. You know, you're like, yeah. I'm like running away. She says, God said what? I said, God said to give the $1,000. She said, that's not responsible. What kind of God is that? I said, honey, how much money do we owe? She said, $30,000. I said, how much money do we have? She said, $1,000. I said, can we take care of $1,000 debt? A $30,000 debt with $1,000? She said, no. I said, honey, would you trust me? God said if we can give it to him, he will multiply it for us and we'll meet our need. You can talk to my wife. A few months after that, somebody shout a few months. Oh, come on, somebody get ready to shout. My wife came to me and said, there's a man who wants to talk to you. And the man came over to talk to me. He said, Zenzo, I don't want to be disrespectful to you, but can I ask you a question? Do you have some debt? I said, yes, we have some debt. And he began to say to me, he said, I don't want to be disrespectful to you, but is it okay if I can pay off your debt? Come on, somebody, celebrate in this place. Hallelujah. I said, listen, you're not disrespecting me. It's okay. What else is God saying to you? You can do whatever God's telling you to do. And we came out of debt, $30,000 out of debt. God can do it. I've seen him do it. Come on, you can put your not enough in the hands of the one who blesses, and he will make it more than enough. Somebody shout hallelujah in this place. Come on, don't be jealous. Celebrate. God's about to pay off your debt. Celebrate in this house. Hallelujah. If what you have is not enough to meet your need, give it in the hands of the blesser, and he will multiply it for you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, somebody in this place. Bring your not enough into the hands of the master. Trust him with it. Trust him with it. Number two, somebody says stewardship precedes multiplication. Stewardship precedes multiplication. Stewardship precedes multiplication. Jesus said to the disciples, bring the two fish and the five loaves of bread. And then here's what he said to them. He says, I want you to go to the people and organize them by merit. Organize them into groups of 50 and 100. Somebody say organize. He says, organize them. Put things in order. Jesus says, I cannot multiply this until things are in order. I want you to know that stewardship precedes multiplication. God will not increase you. He will not give you more until there's some organization that happens first. Now, do you know what it takes to take 12 men to organize 5,000 families into groups? Little kids running around in diapers. Somebody said, I want to be in that group, my cousin. People crisscrossing groups and running all over the place. 5,000 families. It takes work to put things in order. So I want to release an anointing here in this place of stewardship. The Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 10, it says, if you can be trusted with little, God will not give you much. How can God trust you with true riches if you cannot be trusted with worldly riches? So you need to get in order. I declare in this place, as we're expecting God to bless us, that this is time to get in order. Amen, somebody? Get a budget. You need to know what's coming in. You need to know what's going out. You need to know how much money you're going to spend on food. Don't just eat out every day. You need to know how much money I'm going to spend this week on food, how much money I'm going to spend this month on clothes, how much money I'm going to spend on this. You need to know exactly what's coming in and what's going out, because I promise you, the principle of multiplication is that organization precedes multiplication. Somebody say amen. When you go to your workplace, be a good steward. Hallelujah. Don't go to work late. Come out early. Take long lunches and believe in God for a miracle. Believe in God to bless you with something. No. You're stealing on your job. Don't be talking and gossiping about your boss, always complaining. No. Be a person that is faithful. Put things in order. Put your house in order. Get that little house you have. You're believing God for a house. You have that apartment. Clean that little apartment like you have a mansion. Come on. Clean that place up, because organization precedes order. Look at what Jesus did. Look at what God did in the beginning. The Bible says on day one, God said, let there be light. Somebody shout light. One more time. Shout light. Before light, there was darkness. Darkness stands for confusion and emptiness. It says the world was void and empty, and there was confusion. Darkness hovered over the face of the deep. God began to organize first. He said, let there be light. Light brings knowledge and enlightenment. It brings order. It brings vision. And then God, on second day, separated the waters from the ground. He was organizing. On third day, he created the plants. Fourth day, he put in the solar system, physical light. Fourth day, he created the fish and everything that dwells in the water. And then on the sixth day, the Bible says he created man, and he spoke to man. He says, be fruitful and what? And multiply. Multiplication does not come until things are in order. And here's the last point. It has to be blessed for it to be multiplied. Somebody shout, it has to be blessed. Come on, say it. It has to be blessed. I was joking around, but when Jesus said, tell them to bring the two fish and the five loaves of bread to me, they were like, man, this guy brought us here. He says we're going to have a good time, and now he wants our food. But I want you to know that Jesus is not asking you to give him what you have because he wants to eat it. He's asking for what you have because he wants to bless it and multiply it for you. Jesus never asks for what you have unless he has an agenda of multiplication. He wants to bless what you have. He wants to increase you. Let me say this to you. One touch from the master will change your life forever. You need God to bless what you have. That's why you need to honor God with your 10%. Because when you do that, he blesses the rest of it. He blesses the 90%. He will stretch it. He will make it go a long way because that batch is blessed. He wants to bless you. Now, I want to ask somebody here. I need somebody to be generous. I want to go to dinner tonight, and I need somebody to give me $100. Some of you know where I'm going with this. Give me $100. Hey, Jay, come on, somebody. Celebrate Jay. It's my dude. Come on. My dude. $100. Some of you remember this from last time. Thank you, buddy. Now, stay right there. How many people know why Jalen is generous in giving me that money? You guys know this already. I'm not gonna hang. He's giving me that money because I gave it to that dude before service. Right? Walking up here like he loaded. He loaded in Jesus. By faith, he loaded. Well, he's loaded for real. Any single people there, right there. He'll buy your shoes with red bottoms. Right there, dude. No, he gave me this money because I gave it to him before. Now, the question is Jalen miserable because he gave me this money? No, he's not. You know why? Maybe he's a little bit, but he's not. Because this is my money. He's simply returning it to me. When you place your money, when you place your stuff in the hands of God, he wants to bless it. But sometimes we don't give because we're thinking we're giving God something. We're not really giving God something. We're just returning what already belongs to him. Hallelujah. Now, if I gave Jalen $100 and he brought it back, how many people think he can be trusted with $200? How many people think that? Come on. You got to have a little more faith. So, Jalen, I got $200 here, buddy. There you go. You can go. Come on. Let's put our hands together. Now, Jalen, come back. Come back, dude. Come back. I need that $200. I just thought about it, man. I got 4 kids. You ain't got no kids. So I need this more than you do. I need this more than you do, buddy. Thank you, sir. You can go, man. You can go, sir. You can go. I'll cut your beard for you, dude. You don't need a haircut. No, Jalen, come back, dude. Come back. Come on, let's put our hands together. Let's celebrate this God. How many people think if I trusted him with $100, he gave it back to me? I trusted him with two, he gave it back to me. How many people can really believe in this brother and believe he can be trusted with three? Amen. So here we go. It's $300, dude. You can go for real. This is for real now. This is for real. You can go. Come on, celebrate him. Celebrate him. You know already. Yeah. I kind of need that, dude. You know already. Yeah. Thank you, man. Thank you, man. I need this. You know that. You already know, man. Yes, sir. Yeah. Come on. Put your hands together for him. No, Jalen, come back, man. Come back. Somebody shout in this place. Come on. Come back. Come on. Jalen, I gave you $100 and I could trust you with it. And I gave you $200, you brought it back to me. You didn't steal it from me. Because I'm a daddy, man. I got kids. I got a wife. You know that. I gave you $300 and you brought it back to me. You can be trusted. You know what, dude? I just remembered it was this guy's birthday this week. Let's put our hands together for him. It was his brother's birthday this week. So you know what, man? Because you could be blessed. Because you could be trusted. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, happy birthday, Jalen. Happy, come on, somebody shout, happy birthday. And I prophesy over you, son, that God's gonna use you. Come on, somebody. Your voice is gonna be heard around the world in the name of Jesus. I release an anointing in the name of Jesus over you, you preacher of the word of God. Come on, somebody, celebrate this guy. Help me with the music. Let's celebrate this brother. Hallelujah. Happy birthday, Jalen. Now, stay right there. I can have fun with Jalen because truthfully, I can trust him. I wouldn't give that $300 to somebody that I don't know in here. I know we're in church, but I really wouldn't because God's still working on us, you know? But I can trust him. People of God, can God trust you? Is God waiting on you, brokenhearted, waiting for you to bring back what he gave to you, what he entrusted you with? Have you held back on God? Bible says you've robbed me. You've held your 10%. The Lord says 10% is mine. In other words, I've given you everything. You came into this world crying and naked. Everything you have, I've given you. The air you breathe, I've given you. Why are you breaking my heart? Why can't you trust me? God is not asking for what you have because he wants to steal from you. He wants to increase it for you. He wants to bless you. He wants to trust you so he can trust you with more. Can you be trusted? God's raising a generation that's going to be trusted again in the name of Jesus. God's raising a generation that doesn't worship mammon, a generation that worships God. Because when you bless it in the hands of the Master, he blesses it. Somebody stand up in this place and begin to worship God. Begin to thank God. He wants to multiply you. He wants to bless you. There's a story in the Bible of this woman. The Bible says this woman was out there looking for sticks. She had a little flour and a little oil. And she was going to bake her last meal and eat with her little son. She was a widow, so she can die. And Prophet Elijah says, give it to me. Give it to me first. Give it to God through the prophet first. Give it to me. And the lady says, you don't understand. What we have is not enough. We have so little. He says, no. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. And she gives it to the prophet. And the Bible says the flour never died. On Monday they ate. On Tuesday they ate. On Wednesday they had food. Thursday they had food. Friday they had food. Saturday they had food. Sunday they had food. I want you to know that when you bring your not enough and place it in the hands of the blesser, he's going to multiply it for you. The Bible says, give and it will be given unto you. It says, good measure. It says, press down. It says, shaken together and running over. He will bless you. I want to dare you in this place to begin to place your not enough in the hands of the Master and watch him multiply it for you in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody begin to receive from the Lord. Begin to receive from the Lord. Begin to receive from the Lord. It's a season of overflow. It's a season of blessing. Come on, shout, bless him in this place. Celebrate him. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says the disciples brought 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread to Jesus. It says he multiplied it. Your mathematics says that 1 + 1 = 2. But the mathematics of Jesus says 2 fish + 5 loaves of bread = 5,000 men, 5,000 women. Remember 12 baskets. There was 12 baskets remaining because the disciples returned home with a basket each. Oh, hallelujah. There was 12 baskets remaining for 12 disciples. And Jesus said, I'm not trying to steal your 2 fish and 5 loaves. I'm trying to increase you.